This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Callum McSwiggan on FUBAR Radio.
And just like that, it looks like that, it's gonna be the end of.
Welcome back to the Callum McSwiggan Show. Today we have a really, really cool show, actually. Later on, we have an interview with the incredible Armistead Maupin coming up. So stick around for that. But before we dive in there, I'm joined in the studio by the absolutely stunning Nate Ethan Watson. How are you doing, Nate?
I'm good, Callum. How are you?
I'm really good. It's a pleasure to have you here. And I mean, there's so many things I want to talk to you about today.
Yeah.
But let's start about talking about you and your music, because I know that that's what you're most passionate about.
So tell
me a little bit about your background there.
Well, I've been emceeing and rapping for over 10 years now. It's been a long time. I've had a few tracks out there. I've had a track which people more know me for, called Garms Fresh. It was a bassline track, so that featured on Ministry of Sound.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, that was kind of what catapulted me, to be fair, and made everything else kind of blow up for me. So,
yeah,
that was a good look, to be fair.
And you do grime specifically?
No.
Oh, I messed this up. Do
no,
you research,
not you.
Callum?
It's not you that's messed this up, Callum, at all. It's what they've been putting out there. That
okay.
I'm the first first grime transgender artist.
Right, okay.
But my thing is, I'm an artist.
So you do all different types of music?
Literally everything. I rap on everything. So it's not just specifically grime.
Right, yeah. Okay. All right, I've got my facts
yeah.
straight. now.
You heard it first.
and I mean, how has that been for you? Like, how has your career progressed?
It's been very eventful. Obviously, I'm from Wolverhampton. So when I started doing music, the scene wasn't that big. There wasn't many rappers or MCs coming from the city. So I literally came straight to London. I entered a competition. I think it was called Future Hype, actually.
Okay.
Entered a competition. I'd done quite well in there. So things started moving quite quickly for me in London. So that was kind of like the takeoff point. But yeah, I've said 10 years, I've done quite a lot of things. I've been on tour with Tim Westwood.
No way.
Yeah, some of the guys from, I think it's The Only Way is Essex, they came on the tour with us as well. So yeah.
That's really cool. And how has that world welcomed and accepted you? Because I mean, I don't want to stereotype, like, I guess, like the rapping community or that side of music. Yeah. But I know that I think I, as an LGBT plus person, would perhaps feel a little bit intimidated by that world. Yeah. Well, how was that for you? Did you feel it was welcome? You were welcomed with open arms?
Yeah, I can kind of understand that. In fact, I understand that completely. But for me, I think I built a lot in the scene previously. So now it's kind of like, I haven't spoke to everybody that I've met along in the music scene, but I've spoke to many and they're supportive of me. So I think it's the fact that I've built up a lot of good rapport previously. So I'm able to still kind of have those people behind me in a way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's really, really important.
Yeah.
And with your transition as well, because obviously, you know, things like your voice is going to be affected and change. So what is it like going through that kind of experience of creating music before and after or during your transition even?
I said this the other day vaguely. My voice has dropped quite a lot.
Yeah.
10 months into my transition. Well, I'm going into my 11th month into my transition. So it's the puberty stage, about 2 to 5 years of puberty. So anything, my voice can drop a bit more than it is now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So things that I'd be able to do before, I can't really do now. Like, my voice has completely changed from, I don't sound as high, I can't reach them high frequencies that I used to before. But yeah, so it's just about relearning and trying out different things, to be honest.
Yeah.
Alan, like, I've got that depth in the voice
That's
now,
what I was going to say. Surely it comes with some advantages as well.
Yeah, definitely. Like, there's things that I can't do that I could do before, but things that I can do now, I'm more comfortable.
Yeah.
It's like things that I wanted to be doing. Like, where's that depth in my voice? I haven't got it, so I can't flow like that. But yeah, I'm kind of grasping it now. It's just training it up to, you know.
Absolutely. So what's the future for you right now? Are you currently working on new music?
Yeah, I'm always going to be working on music. I said, just the fact that I've transitioned, it's not going to stop me doing music.
Of course,
just know,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Of course.
I just know that it's probably going to be a bit different in the way that I do it now. But yeah, I'm working on some new stuff, so I'm quite happy with that at the minute.
Amazing.
Yeah,
well, I wish you had some of your new stuff to share with us. I'm really disappointed.
Do you know what? It's a surprise. It's why people can follow me on Instagram and just keep up with what I'm posting on there.
Well, I do have a clip from some of your older stuff.
Yeah.
If you'd like me to play it.
Yeah, that's fine.
This is from Could You Be, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay. This is just a little snippet.
I can do it like you never had it, but I ain't pushy, I ain't rushy, we don't need to plan it. I could take you to the star, see another planet. I ain't gotta spell it out, you're already on it. Okay, I never message you, you message me. What? So you stood up in my DM, started telling me that you're loving off my star, but you're low-key. And I ain't got a problem with that, I like privacy too. So we can keep this between me and you. Yeah.
Oh, it's a bop.
I love it already.
Well, I'm really excited for the future and to hear some more of your stuff. We'll definitely be playing it here on Fubar Radio.
Be sending it through to you as soon as it's finished.
I was going to ask you, you know, how do you feel about some of the other kind of trans artists out there? I mean, we have Kim Petras, for instance, and she's like absolutely smashing.
Yeah.
I was going to say just in America, but it's not. It's going worldwide now. And I think one of the things that I absolutely adore about her is that she's hit the mainstream to the fact that, you know, nobody's, I know that I've just done this, but for the most part, nobody's referring to her as that trans musician. They're just referring to her as that incredible musician, and we love her music, and the fact that she's trans is kind of beside the point.
Is
that where you would like to see yourself and other trans
eventually
musicians?
Like, I don't just want to be labeled as the trans rapper.
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
totally.
I've been rapping a lot longer before I was trans, so I never really had that around me, but now it's turned into the trans grime rapper.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, yeah, I'm transgender, but I don't just do grime, and I don't really want that that title of being the trans rapper.
Totally. You just want to be a rapper in your own
yeah,
right.
Yeah. But if you want to talk about the fact that I've transitioned, then we can talk about that, but I don't want that transgender grime artist title.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Totally get that.
Yeah, so...
I want to talk a little bit about your growing up situation, mm-hmm. because I know that you were quite heavily bullied in school.
Yeah.
Did you find that was something that affected your music?
I do. I think my music was a way... It was like an escape for me, in a way, because of what I was going through at school. It was from pretty early on, to be fair. It was, say, like, going from... infants to junior school, I'm not sure what they call it now, is it primary, and then into secondary school, mm-hmm. but yeah, I did suffer quite a bit of bullying through those years, and I think I used to kind of just lock away, like I think in playgrounds and stuff I was kind of like the loud mouth kind of, do you know what I mean, always making people laugh and whatever, but as soon mm-hmm. as I went home it was like things was really affecting me from a young age, so I'd get the pen and the pad out and just literally start writing everything that mm-hmm. I was feeling, and they turned into songs, so and then I used to go to school with my notepad with all the songs that I've wrote in there and say to my friends, can you read that, can you write a comment in the back,
so that's amazing.
Yeah, and so people knew that I was doing that from early ages.
I mean, it's awful that you had to go through that, but it's also really incredible to hear that you've kind of used those experiences to, you know, influence your music and you now empower yourself.
Yeah definitely. I think at the time it was kind of, it can be soul crushing, do you know what I mean? Especially
absolutely.
When you know you're different anyway, do you know what I mean? And you can't, at that age, I couldn't really put my finger on it. I was just like, to be fair, it was like I'm mixed race. I've got ginger hair at the time. My hair was bright orange, do you know what I mean? I had a gap. I was like doing my music and writing and whatever. So I had a lot of stick, do you know what I mean? But I think music was literally a coping mechanism for me.
That's amazing. Mm. Let's talk a little bit about everything that is happening now, because I think we can't not talk about it. You know, it's such a important, and I don't want to get this wrong. So could you tell me in your words the situation with the doctor? I believe I have his name here somewhere. Webberly.
Yeah, Dr.
Webberly. Tell me about this situation.
I've just got the phone call, and I had an automatic a message that they sent out to literally all the patients. Mm-hmm. I think it was last week, saying that there's been a suspension, but not to worry because the care would continue. So I kind of thought about it, and I was like, okay, I haven't heard anything more than this. But then I got a phone call from my NHS doctor, and she was like, Nate, we literally can't continue this. Your gender doctors have been suspended. We are not comfortable in carrying on the shared care, because I had shared care agreement between the gender doctor and the NHS doctor, so they literally liaise and work together. So my NHS doctors now has turned around and said she's not funding it. I had my last injection today, to be honest, so now it's like the fight. I'm battling through to see where my next injection is going to come from. It doesn't seem like there's any hope from the NHS, because I've been waiting probably 30 months already to be seen for my first consultation with the gender clinic with the NHS. So it's
really terrifying.
And
I think the fact that this is happening, you know, I think we all go about our lives sometimes and we think, you know, that that's being taken care of over there, mm-hmm. but it clearly isn't. And this is like such a a strong example of, you know, the examples of kind of health inequalities that trans people regularly face.
Exactly, yeah.
And I for one, am a little bit confused about how this could happen in the mm-hmm. first place, because it's not just yourself. I believe it's 1,600.
1,600
patients were mm-hmm. seeing that doctor, and now all of them are going to be denied care.
Well, this is the thing now. Gender GP have turned around and said that nobody's to worry, because the care is going to continue. They've just moved everything over to Spain, so now the prescriptions will be done by a European doctor.
Right, okay.
But I've actually emailed Callum and I says, well, I have got something to worry about, because my doctor now has turned around and said she's not going to fund the shared care. So I'm kind of like, so I'm in a position, what's going to happen? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's pulled out, but you lot are saying it's okay, but it's clearly not okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is the battle that I'm having. I've literally come straight from Wolverhampton today after trying to sort out as much as I could before coming down to London.
Yeah, well, I'm very grateful that you're here, by the way.
I was looking forward to coming here, so I'm glad you invited me.
The fact that you're going through so much and you've still taken the time out to join us here today, we're really, really grateful.
No, thank you. I'm glad you invited me.
So I guess forgive my ignorance a little bit, because I'm sure you've done the research to death, but what are your other options at the minute?
The other options is I literally got straight into my emails and onto the phone when I got this phone call. So I've messaged the NHS gender clinic to see if there's any chance of pushing me forward.
Yeah.
But obviously there's no chance of that, because there's people that have been waiting a long time before me as well.
Sure.
But the thing is, now I've got to look for a different private gender doctor.
Right.
That's
which is potentially costly.
Yeah, it's going to be very costly. To be honest, there was two private gender clinics that I was choosing between before I started my transition.
Right.
The first one, it was my first choice, was a bit more expensive than gender GP. So obviously I went with gender GP after doing my research, but now it's like, well, I should have really just started with them, because it might look like I might have to go with them anyway. It's just that extra funding now that it's just going to be crazy.
Would you agree that, you know, that a situation like yours should be considered almost like an emergency situation?
Yeah.
You know, somebody starting their transition and then suddenly being abruptly stopped.
Yeah.
I'm sure, I mean, I don't know the medical side of it, to be honest, but I'm sure that has consequences and quite serious health consequences.
Definitely.
So, again, it really worries me that there's not something in place to say, you know, if something like this does happen, that there is an emergency service
this
that would come in and help that.
Yeah.
Do you think your situation will maybe help for that to become a thing in future?
I'm hoping,
yeah,
to be fair, because I've been publicising and very open about my transition. I've had people that have followed my music career, so obviously I've kind of brought them in on my journey and said, well, this is what was going on, and now you lot can follow the rest of my journey.
Yeah.
But, I think a lot of people that message me, they haven't got the support. I'm kind of lucky in terms of I have got quite a good support base around me, family and friends, but I know that there's people that message me that haven't got that. Do you know what I mean? And they're in a position now where it's even worse for them. Do you know what I mean? And that kind of, to be fair, Callum, that makes me emotional, do you know what I mean? Because these people come and talk to me and I try and keep them going as much as I'm trying to keep myself going.
Sure.
And I know that they're in this situation, and some people are kind of looking for me to be that strong one and, do you know what I mean, have the platform and do something about it, which I'm motivated to do that, but at the same time I'm like, it's stressful for me as well, because I'm in that position and I'm stopping myself having the anxiety and
absolutely
everything that can come with the thought of detransitioning and going back to the place where I came from. So that's a scary thought.
I mean, I think it's amazing that people do look up to you as that kind of role model, but at the same time, you know, it's not your responsibility at the end of the day. You know, you're just a guy trying to, you know, go through your transition, and you know, you shouldn't be having to fight all of these battles incredibly complex as the NHS and all their ins and outs. That's a lot for one guy to take on his shoulders.
It is, definitely, but I think at the same time, the positive is in it for me is that I'm struggling myself, because there's nobody for me to go and talk to, or, do you know what I mean, to get any information or whatever from. So if I can be that person, then it's like, I don't mind, do you know what I mean, Callum? I've done a lot of work where I've mentoring, that's literally my life, mentoring, supporting away from music. So that is my passion, working with people and helping people. So I don't think I'll ever be able to stop that naturally. Do you know what I mean?
It's just in you. It's in your nature.
It's
in your blood.
It's literally in my heart to do that. But at the same time, it's like I have to put myself first.
Absolutely.
And make sure that I'm okay, so I can make sure everybody else is, or try and, do you know what I mean, help people that do message me.
And the doctor, Dr. Webberly, they were suspended. Are you able to talk about the reasons behind their suspension?
I'm still trying to find out some more information about that, to be fair. I have actually contacted them, so I'm still waiting to see the real ins and outs of what's going on.
I did a little bit of reading around it, but I was also struggling to kind of grasp what had happened there. But from what I could see, it seemed that this person had been suspended, and there wasn't necessarily even due cause for that.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that outright, because I do not know the ins and outs of the situation.
Yeah.
But it seems they were perhaps a little too quick to suspend somebody who was providing care to so many people.
Yeah.
without considering the consequences of that first. You know, I think something should have been put in place, a safety net, an emergency fund or whatever it is.
Yeah, definitely.
To support people like yourself who are, you know, left in this awful situation. I'm so sorry that that has happened to you.
Yeah, I'm hoping that there is something like that, and I will hear from somebody to say, well, this has been set up so you can clearly just move over to and continue the care. But at the minute, I've said to people, I'm literally in limbo, and I don't like to push blame on people and say, well, you've done this and it's your fault and they didn't do this, so it's their fault. I don't like to do that. My only issue right now is I don't want to detransition.
Of course.
My hormone treatment. That's like my main issue. I'm not trying to push blame. I'm just like, this shouldn't have happened. I shouldn't be in this position, like 11 months into my transition. So...
Well, I hope you find a solution to this situation. If there's anything I can do, please reach out. I'm sure there's a lot of people, you know, listening around the world, etc., who are really sympathetic as well and would love to support you in this.
Thank you. Thanks.
I think, Nate, you know, we invited you here before any of this happened.
Yeah.
You know, we invited you here as a rapper, as a musician, but we also want to have some fun here on the show today.
It's Pride
Month.
Come here.
It's Pride Month, after all.
Can we get away from the serious stuff
first
now?
First show of Pride Month. So let's have a little bit of fun.
Yeah.
We've got a game coming up very shortly, but before we do that, let's jump into a bit of music. This is Cheap Queen by King Princess.
Shit, I've always liked
smiling to the audience,
like smoking in movies and homies who bring me wine. I've been going out too much and talking about myself too much.
Smiling to the audience.
I can be good sometimes. I'm a cheap queen. I can be what you like, and I can be bad sometimes. I'm a real queen. I can make grown men cry. Sometimes I'm a cheap queen. I can be what you like, and I can be bad sometimes. I'm a real queen. I can make grown men cry. Making my name. All of my girls get up early and stay out late. They drive all the way to the west side to see my face.
How do they do it?
That's good love. And it ain't no big baller when it's fake friends you're calling. I can be good sometimes. I'm a cheap queen. I can be what you like, and I can be bad sometimes. I'm a real queen. I can make grown men cry. I can be good sometimes. I'm a cheap queen. I can be what you like, and I can be bad sometimes. I'm a real queen. I can make grown men cry. I'm getting too cocky since everyone. I can make grown men cry. I can be good sometimes. I'm a cheap queen. I can be what you like, and I can be bad sometimes. I'm a real queen. I can make grown men cry. I can be good sometimes. I'm a cheap queen. I can be what you like, and I can be bad sometimes. I'm a real queen. I can make grown men cry.
Let's play a game, Nate. This game is one of my favourites. We've recently brought this back to the Callum McSwiggan Show. This is a game that we retired, and we've brought it back. It's you know, since it's Pride Month, and since it's 50 year anniversary of Stonewall this year.
Yeah.
We've been talking a lot about LGBT plus history, and this game is a celebration of that.
Okay, wicked.
So this game is called Queers Throughout the Years, and right here in front of me, I have five different facts about LGBT plus history. Mm-hmm. Some of these are true.
Yeah.
And some of them have been completely fabricated.
Okay.
Usually it's me who makes them up when we play this game, but I've been a very busy boy this week, so my lovely producer has put this together. So I've not read this yet.
Okay.
But yeah, are you ready to dive
I'm
right
ready.
In?
I'm ready, yeah.
Okay, our first one. In early 17th century London, there was a gay brothel on the site where Buckingham Palace is today.
True.
True. Why true?
Because I just think that that's so like something that you wouldn't imagine.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
LGBT can be things that you just don't imagine, so...
I just think, like, why did they decide to build Buckingham... If this is indeed true, why would they decide to build Buckingham Palace on somewhere where there was a gay brothel before? I mean, I'm fine with a gay brothel, but, you know, some people can be quite uptight about that kind of thing.
That's like a conspiracy. Why would they do that, Callum?
you just don't know. You just don't know. So are you sticking with...
I'm saying true.
You are, absolutely.
Am I right?
Correct, oh, yeah, wicked. You are. It is true. In 1649, English lawyer and politician Clement Walker discovered... newly erected Sodoms and Spintrees at the Mulberry Garden at St. James. And yes, this suggests that the site must have been a place of debauchery, apparently.
Okay.
I would have liked to go there. That sounds like a fun place to visit. I think that'd be a good time. Let's jump into our next one.
Yeah.
In 1970, a young stripper named Shelley Bauman lost her leg in a Seattle strip club when a huge fight broke out over a man dressed as a woman in the club, and she was shot in the leg. With the payout she got from the incident, she opened Seattle's first gay bar, which she named Shelley's Leg. what are you thinking? What are you
Shelley's
thinking?
Leg's got a ring to it.
I would go there. I would go there.
That you could hear that story actually happening, but for some reason I'm going to say false.
What makes you think false?
Because I'm not sure. I can see that kind of...
It seems like a very like kind of elaborate thing to make up.
Yeah,
you know.
To be fair.
And I don't actually know the answer, and I've not looked at it yet.
You've got me overthinking this one now.
I've got it in front of me, but I've not looked whether this is true or false yet, so I'm not actually sure myself.
I feel like that's something that you would expect to happen, so I'm going to go with the opposite.
So you're going to say that
this
is false?
Because the first one, we wouldn't expect that, but it was true.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, I have the answer here, and... You are absolutely correct. It is false. In 1970, at the Seattle Bastille Day Parade, stripper Shelley Bauman was there enjoying it. A fire engine was part of the parade, and the water cannon on it was set up to fire confetti. The cannon was fired, and somehow it did not shoot confetti, but rather a ball of wet paper, which hit her.
Oh, wow.
Her lower abdomen was severely injured, and doctors were forced to amputate her left leg. She did sue, though, and opened the first gay bar with that name. So, it was partially true. Shelley's...
So, it was true, then?
No.
What?
It's partially true. So she did indeed open Seattle's first gay bar, called Shelley's Leg, but she lost her leg for a very different reason.
Oh, that was actually true.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Shit.
It was indeed.
I had no.
So,
do I get a point for that one?
I think you get, like, a partial point.
Like, half.
Like, you get a half point.
I'll take half.
Because, you know, Shelley's Leg does it. I wonder if it's still there today. I would very much like to go
there.
I'm
going to Google that later.
Yeah, look it up. Shelley's Leg. Look it up. All right, our next one. The US government considered making a gay bomb. Scientists figured in 1994 that discharging female sex pheromones over enemy forces would make them sexually attracted to each other. It sounds like something the US government would do.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That actually sounds like it would be legit.
Yeah, but like, why? What? But the thing that confuses me about this is like, why would they think that turning their enemies gay would in any way help them? Because I would argue that gays are very resourceful, and if you turned all your enemies gay, you're actually empowering them with the strength of homosexuality.
Yeah, I agree what you're saying.
Yeah, like being gay would not disable your enemy.
No, it would not.
It would make them more powerful. It's Pride Month, for God's sake.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? True.
You think true?
Yeah.
You are indeed correct.
Ping.
It is true. Ohio-based research organization Wright Lab requested a six-year, $7.5 million grant to create a variety of non-lethal weapons. The laboratory also came up with similarly questionable ideas, such as bad breath bombs, flatulence bombs, and bombs designed to attract swarms of stinging insects. Like, this is real.
Wow.
Like, I feel like I'm reading something out of a fantasy book.
Yeah, it sounds yet, it, doesn't it? But then at the same time, I'm like, oh, yeah, I can...
So the US government wasted all that money coming up with bombs to try and turn their enemies gay, to make their enemies fart and to make their enemies attract stinging insects.
Can they create some bombs with some testosterone in or something? Send them over here.
It would be helpful right
now.
You
know what I mean?
Spend your money on something useful, please. Right, our next one. In the 1930s, a Disney comic strip showed Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck flirt with each other behind Mickey's girlfriend's back. When Minnie found out, she ended things with Mickey and refused to talk to Donald.
Oh, that's why they fell out.
That's why they fell out. This is the reason behind it all.
False.
Do you think false?
Yeah. I think Mickey and Minnie are still going strong.
You are correct. You are indeed correct. It was actually quite the opposite. In 1931, the comic strip showed Mickey meeting a big cat who displayed all the markers stereotypically given to gay characters during that period. He had a lisp, a limp handshake, and batting eyelashes. Revealing himself to be not just homophobic, but a violent gay basher, Mickey attacked the cat and called him a cream puff inhaler.
Oh, wow. When was this?
It's a long time ago. This was 1931. But just so everyone's aware, Mickey Mouse is violently homophobic.
Homophobic?
Attacks
no
gay people, apparently. That's just ruined everything I ever thought about Disney and Disneyland.
Yeah, like, that's out of order.
Next time I go to Disneyland, I'm gonna spot Mickey across the way, and I'm gonna
chop him.
I was gonna say avoid.
Sweep him.
But yeah, we can chop him. We can chop him. Take him down, Mickey. Well, I like to think that Mickey, you know, he's quite an old man now, and I like to think that he's changed his ways.
He
accepts the gays a little bit more now.
Yeah, he should be a bit wiser.
Yeah,
he's
starting to allow them in his movies.
Well, yeah,
you know, we had Beauty and the Beast and Frozen. I mean, it's minor representation, but it's a little bit.
It's getting there.
It's getting there slowly. Mm. Come on, Mickey. You can do better.
Sort him out.
You can, yeah, I bet Minnie's an ally.
You know.
I bet Minnie's sick of Mickey's homophobic ways.
Well.
Yeah, Donald fucking loves the gays. Like, Donald won't shut up about the gays. It's just Mickey.
I wasn't even going to do my Donald Duck voice.
Oh, please do.
Yeah.
All right, we have one more. Jimi Hendrix pretended to be gay to get out of the army in 1962.
True.
You think true?
Yeah.
Why?
Because he probably wanted to get out to obviously focus on his music and stuff.
But, yeah, it makes absolute sense. And you weren't allowed to serve in the army.
That's what I was going to say.
As an openly gay person at that point. So you are absolutely correct. Jimmy said he left the 101st Airborne Division, age 19, in 1962 after being injured on a parachute jump. But Hendrix's biography says army records show he was discharged for homosexual tendencies.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Okay. Well,
what happened to him after that?
Who fucking knows? Am I offended by this? I might be a little bit offended by it. I don't know.
Do you know what? I don't know, because I don't want to talk about people's lives, but I'm like, maybe he did really have tendencies.
Maybe
but
he did. I wasn't going to say it, but like, it's quite possible.
Maybe.
Like, there's a lot of speculation here, and I think it's one of those things where we have like some of the facts, but not all of the facts, and
there
we kind of make assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's an interesting one. And I think that, you know, LGBT plus history, I think is missing. It has so many plot holes because our history hasn't been documented. And that's because it had so much of it had to be kept secret and
covered
kept hidden.
Up, yeah.
So now when we're looking back, we're often, you know, there's so many holes in the stories and we're trying to piece it together and piece together what actually happened.
Exactly, yeah.
And with it being like the 50-year anniversary of Stonewall, mm-hmm. you know, there are so many kind of discrepancies and, you know, people argue over what actually went down.
Yeah.
At Stonewall on that night, because, you know, there are so many people told different stories mm-hmm. and the way it was documented and reported.
Yeah.
I find it fascinating.
It
I find it absolutely
it's really
fascinating.
Interesting, yeah.
I just hope going forward that our history is kind of documented properly.
I hope so as well, because I think everybody's a bit more open to things now. I think we've still got a long way to go, but I don't think we should be hiding who we are, do you know what
no.
I mean? So.
And I mean, people like yourself, you know, being very visible and out there and talking about, you know, your transition, yourself, also promoting your music, you know, mm-hmm. it's amazing. And it really is making a difference.
I hope so.
Definitely is. Should we have a little bit more music?
Yeah.
All right. This is A Little Bit of Ice Cream by Mika. We'll be right back. Nate insisted just off the air just then that I tell you all that he got 5 out of 5 correct.
Thanks for that, Callum.
Well done, Nate. We're very, very proud of you. That rarely happens in that game. So
really?
Well done. You know,
is there a scoreboard or something?
You know, I'll make one just for you.
Yeah.
And you're at the top.
Yeah,
you're at
please
the top.
Do that.
We're going to shortly go to an interview from the amazing icon Armistead Maupin. So I had the pleasure of interviewing him last week in relation to the new Netflix series Tales of the City, which is coming out this Friday on the 7th of June. I don't know if you've heard much about
I
this
haven't.
Show.
I haven't. I did see something on the Instagram, so I'm actually interested to hear this.
I've only seen one episode. I was lucky enough to see one episode last week, but it's coming out this Friday, and I'm already obsessed with it. It's basically, it tells so many different LGBT plus stories in San Francisco. It's entirely written by queer writers. I think there was obviously Armistead, but then I think there was 7, maybe 8 other queer writers working on it. It's like predominantly LGBT plus actors, predominantly LGBT plus characters, and the trans representation in it as well is absolutely incredible, and something I don't really think I've seen before.
Really?
So I'm really, really excited to see it. I'm gonna go to the interview now. So it's just a very short interview with Armistead, who was a character, by the way. He was a very, very cheeky gentleman, and I thoroughly enjoyed interviewing him, and truly a career highlight for me as well. So I'm going to play a little bit of a snippet, a little bit of a teaser trailer, and then we'll go straight into the interview.
One day I'll grow up, I'll be a beautiful girl, but for today I am.
Did anyone ever tell you how I came to live at Barbary Lane in the first place?
For today
I read an ad. You know what it said?
You'll know if it's right for you.
There is no better reward in a person's life than to see a building turned from walls of brick to a nest of warm stories and warm hearts.
So now I am joined by LGBT plus icon and living legend, Armistead Maupin. How are you doing?
I'm living. That's a really good thing to be when you're a legend.
I hear you're really excited about being on FUBAR because you're allowed to swear and,
well,
and say whatever you like.
I don't have to worry about it. I swear in all sorts of places.
But, yeah.
And they look horrified. But I think we must use all words in the language.
Absolutely.
When we want to tell a story.
So let's talk a little bit about Tales of the City. Now, this is a series that so many people have recommended to me. I must confess, I've not actually read it yet. But one of my very best friends gave me a copy for my birthday. So I'm very excited to tear into it. Yeah, that's a start.
It's important that the young be indoctrinated. And I'm happy that someone's working it on you.
I feel like it, as well, Tales of the City is something that is, you know, well loved by young generations and the older generations. You know, it's something that spans absolutely everybody. And it was written across several decades as well.
Yes, it was written. It's been going on for 43 years now. And I've always tried to update it with younger characters. Yeah. We had to bring in some writers this time around because I can't keep up with everything. But we have a really rich show that speaks to everyone's experience.
Yeah.
There's a lot of intergenerational stuff in Tales of the City that's dear to my heart, because when I was first coming out 40 years ago, I had people older, even older gay people, Christopher Isherwood, the writer who created the Berlin stories and therefore Cabaret, who invented Liza Minnelli, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, well.
Was constantly throwing parties where there were all ages of queers. And we got to tell our stories to each other.
Yeah.
And it sort of validated everything. You could see where they had been and where you were going. And so we have moments in Tales where generations share their experience, a particularly powerful one between Michael Tolliver and his younger, 30 years younger lover. Husband, no, they're not married yet. I want them to be married.
Yeah.
Where they talk about the fact that Michael doesn't share his experiences with AIDS. He was so traumatized by this as many of us were at that time when your friends were all dropping dead. It was like a horror show.
Yeah.
And you bury it. You don't talk about it. And it becomes a moment where they're sharing to the degree that they can become closer.
Yeah.
As two men.
I feel like the LGBT plus community in particular is this place where we do have this kind of crossing generations that you don't see anywhere else. You know, you can walk into a gay bar even now and there'll be an 18-year-old and an 80-year-old.
That's the joy of it.
Stories.
That's the joy of it. I always say it's like being in the Navy.
Yeah.
you can come to a strange town, but you recognize the uniform and there's fellowship.
Yeah, absolutely.
Instant fellowship. And we need to not let go of that. It's real easy to do when you've got the internet and you can find exactly what you want, you know, online.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I said the other day, probably in my place, I shouldn't have said it, but that I'm not going to be one of those old queens that complains about, you know, you young people today with your grinder. You got it so easy. In my day, we had to walk 20 miles through the snow just to suck a cock.
Wow. but it's true, you know. It is true.
Well, it's sort of true.
Yeah. But, you know, you can use Grindr today. Everyone can use Grindr today.
Everyone can use it. And as a matter of fact, it wasn't Grindr, but I met my husband on a website called Daddy Hunt.
Oh, wow.
I didn't meet him on the website. I was walking down the street.
Yeah.
And saw him. Beautiful, beautiful man that he still is today after 15 years.
Yeah.
And recognized him from Daddy Hunt.
Oh, wow. Now that is something.
And I knew he liked men over 45.
Yeah.
And as I said at the time, I was overqualified for that position. But it, you know, that grew out of the use of the internet.
Yeah. I think that really is modern day romance, isn't it?
It really is. Everybody.
Something quite touching.
Everybody straight and gay meets their true love online. Eventually, after some serious disasters, they hear my sister tell it.
So, Tales of the City is coming to Netflix on June 7th.
Yep.
And what is your hope for this kind of revival of it?
Well, mostly I want people to like it.
Yeah.
I think they will. I want them to get as wrapped up in it as they have with the books and the original miniseries and to let it become part of their lives. Mm-hmm. And encourage them to lead their lives in that way, to find fellowship in that way.
And are any of the stories of the characters, you know, are they part of your life?
In the show itself, some. I couldn't tell you right offhand which are mine or and which were written by our wonderful writer's room. But
there are parts of you peppered through it.
Parts of me peppered through it.
Lovely.
Especially the relationships between Michael and his partner.
Yeah.
And then our writer's room contained enormous diversity in terms of trans writers, non-binary writers, people who had experiences that were far beyond mine, but gave us great storylines because it's just that much more complicated when you're trying to find your true love, when you're defining yourself and hoping that the world will accept you that way.
Would you say it's a celebration of diversity?
I would, except that it... Yes, it is. It is a celebration of diversity.
Yeah.
We use that word flinging around so freely these days.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's what was the effort.
Yeah.
To let everybody find a little something of themselves in the story.
Lovely. Well, Armistead, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, Callum.
I hope everybody goes and sees Tales of the City. It is available on Netflix from June 7th.
And why are you not on television?
Oh, I should be.
You certainly should be.
can you get me a job in television?
I can tell them what you look like, at least.
Thank you, Armistead.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
What a flirt he was. He was such a flirt. I want to hang out with Armistead a little more. He's an absolute hero. I was going to say a minute ago as well, like, this show is full of so many incredible people. Like Ellen Page, Laura Linney, Bob the Drag Queen. I want everyone. I'm obsessed with it. Mm. I've just in the... Nate and I have just been chatting, and I think I've convinced Nate to watch it.
Yeah, you've definitely convinced me. When is it out, did you say?
Nice. I like the way you did
that. Yeah, I know. I know, but tell everybody else. I remember.
It is out this Friday, which is June 7th, and it's available on Netflix. And yes, I just recommend that everybody go and watch that.
Yeah, I'll be watching it.
Nate and I will be reacting to some of your sex confessions very shortly. If you want to send in any last-minute confessions, you can do that by emailing callum@foobarradio.com, and we'll be reacting to those very shortly. But before we do that, let's have a little bit of Charlie XCX and Lizzo. Blame It On Your Love.
Hey, listen.
Discussing how we are both so happy that we feel like Lizzo is finally getting the representation that she deserves. I mean, she is the queen of the queers.
And definitely.
I'm just so happy. I fucking love Lizzo.
I love Lizzo, seriously.
We are going to do some sex confessions now. Thank you so much to everyone who has sent one in. Nate, would you like to read the first one?
Yeah, let's go for it. Right. I was listening to my favourite LGBT artist's track on repeat. Who for this confession will be anonymous? I was so obsessed. You know how it is, on repeat. I only go and bump into him in a coffee shop last week. We're going on a date tomorrow.
That is goals. How does that even happen?
How did that happen?
My God.
I want to hear more about that. That's interesting.
I'm jealous. There are a few LGBT plus artists in this country that I'm obsessed with. And if I bumped into them in a coffee shop and ended up getting a date, I wouldn't be able to speak on the radio. I'd be done. That'd be me over. Oh, I hope this is the start of a wonderful love story.
It could be, couldn't it? That sounds very positive. This big up
amazing.
You, though.
And like, if you know, if they end up being a couple, we're probably going to be hearing from this person. This person's going to probably end up all over the press and the media.
Can they message back in and let us know how it went?
I can't.
You can let me know.
I'm going to get my producers to get in touch and find out more about this because wow,
that doesn't happen every day.
That doesn't happen every day. Good for you.
You know.
Good for you. Proud. Very proud. All right, I will do this next one. My mum ruined mine and my boyfriend's anniversary. We were leaving our hotel for dinner, and in the lift, I found my single mum, obviously on a date, snogging the face of a man I've never seen before. What a way to put you off your dinner. Well, okay, look, all I'm going to say is that your mum is allowed to date people and she's allowed to have a sex life herself.
Yeah.
She was having a good time. That's not ruining you and your boyfriend's anniversary.
There you go. Leave mama alone.
Leave mama alone. You're getting a telling off from me now. but yeah, I do appreciate that would have probably been quite awkward.
Yeah, that would have cringed me out, to be fair. But leave mama alone.
Leave mama alone. She's living her best life. Good for her. Good for you,
yeah.
Single mum, if you're listening, which probably not. do you want to read the next one, Nate?
Yeah, okay. My best friend for the past 15 years is currently transitioning from male to female. It's her birthday coming up and I want to buy her something feminine to support her transition. It doesn't have to be serious. Any ideas?
Wow, I love this question and I think just so lovely of you as well to want to support your friend
that's
in
so
her transition.
Definitely, yeah.
That's amazing.
You're a good friend, man.
Good friend. Obviously, this would be the reverse for you, Nate.
Yeah.
But like, can we flip it for a second? You know what?
I think that would be the best way.
What
Let's
would have been
try
supportive for you, or even now, you know, going through your transition? If I was to buy you a gift,
yeah.
I mean, chocolates is good.
But
is there anything like in particular?
Do you know what?
Clothing, I guess.
Yeah, I was just about to say clothing. Clothing always works. I think if one of my friends was to buy me a shirt or even sort of a pack of boxers or something,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
maybe
that's really
a nice.
Nice
set of something, or
so maybe they could buy her a nice dress. I guess it's always tricky buying clothes for people though. But I feel like even the gesture itself,
yeah,
it's just showing
that's
support.
That's so nice, definitely.
Yeah,
I think clothing always kind of you win with clothing.
You win.
Underwear, pajamas, just make sure it's feminine.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Feminine clothing, I think, is a winner. Just make sure you get the gift receipt so that they can exchange
it. Yeah.
you know, just in case you get them, you know, something that they hate.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really sweet, though. That's one of the best questions I think we've ever had sent in.
That's really nice.
I hope our answers were good enough.
I hope so.
All right, I think we probably have time for one more. I'll read this last one. I went out last week on the piss and got with a stranger, went back to his and had sex. When we got down to business, I recognized his dick because it had a piercing on the end of it. Turns out I'd had sex with him last month. He obviously wasn't that memorable because I didn't recognize him the second time around. I mean, wow, good for you.
Wicked.
You,
yeah. That's wicked.
That could never happen to me. Like, I mean, I've slept with a fair few people, but I remember everyone
I've slept with.
This is a little bit embarrassing to admit, but I actually have a list of everyone I've had sex with. It's only because somebody asked me, not that long ago, like, how many people have you slept with? And I was like, I don't know. So I decided to like write, and I don't think I've missed anyone. I think I've got everyone down. But it was quite interesting to do, actually, to kind of make that list. But
I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that.
I did have one situation recently where I saw this guy and I was like, I think I had sex with him. And then I did have to think about it.
And did you?
No, I hadn't. That was the thing. I hadn't had sex with him. We had made out once, but I hadn't actually had sex with him. So you know, sex isn't always memorable.
Nah, that's the bad thing. Move on. Next.
Well, what a note to end on, I think. Nate, I want to, before we wrap up the show, I just want to talk about you again briefly. So, where if people are ready for more music from you?
Yeah.
Where should they be looking out for that?
Straight, I think the easiest thing is to follow me on Instagram,
yeah,
where I'm more publicised and chat about everything that's going on. Can I mention my Instagram?
No. Yeah, okay. Of course you can. What's
Sorry.
What's your handle?
Nate.Ethan.Watson.
Okay, amazing. Yeah. Well, everyone should go and follow you.
Everybody go and follow me. And then send me a message.
And any regular listeners of the show, as soon as Nate brings out some new music, we will be playing it here.
I'll
absolutely.
Be sending it straight to you, Callum.
Please do.
Will
give it to me as an exclusive.
I will, definitely.
There we go. He said it.
I've said it here.
It's set in stone now. I also, before we go, Nate, regarding your current situation and this kind of awful situation that you're in, I think I saw that you had started a crowdfunder. Is that right? To try and raise some funds around, I mean, just the general healthcare that you need that should be being given to you by government, but it isn't. Mm-hmm. Where can people find that?
I've got the link for that on my Instagram as well. It's probably the easiest place.
Okay,
to
so like
find
in
that.
The in
it's
the
in
bio.
The bio section, so you can just click the link and it will take you straight to the page.
Okay.
But yeah, if anybody can do that, that would be a big help right now to be fair.
Absolutely, completely agree. If anyone is listening and they want to support Nate in this, I mean, it's a crucial, crucial thing.
Yeah,
so
it is.
Do go check out that link.
I've enjoyed the laughing and joking, but as soon as I go back out, it's going to be like, where am I getting the hormones
from? Back to real life.
Yeah.
Totally.
I'm glad you've took me away from that for a bit, Callum.
We had fun.
Definitely.
Do we have to end?
Oh,
I think they're literally going to come and kick us out of the studio if we carry on. I mean, we could give it a go and see. I've never been thrown out by security before. But
You're on your own.
Well, Nate, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for coming on. I'm going to play you out with a little bit of Deal With It by Girly.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.